If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The path of personal development is befriending uncertainty. And so I obviously sit from the entrepreneurial perspective, but almost all decisions that you make in the beginning, you have incomplete data and you have to make decisions anyways. And so it's growing comfortable with taking your best bad guess. There have been so many times in my life where I knew I needed to do something and then I filled all this extra time not doing that thing. And then the moment I did it, I was like, wow, that took way less time than I thought it was going to take. And not only that, it took way less time than it took me to delay to actually get to this point. And if I had only started with just doing what I was supposed to do, I could have done four or five other things that I was also supposed to do by this exact same point. And so thinking about it from that perspective, I've tried to eliminate as much time between I think I should do this thing and beginning doing it. And I think you get this positive reinforcement cycle that occurs every time you start. I call it pulling the thread. It's like, I just need to start pulling the thread. And then all of a sudden what feels really unknown becomes very tangible. And you're like, oh, I understand the six problems I have to solve to do this big thing. But now I know the problems. And then it feels like you can wrap your arms around it. And then you can start taking it one bite at a time. Waking up and then trying to shrink the time between when I wake up and when I start working, and shrinking the time between one task and the next task. Like, you don't need to take 30 minutes of getting ready to start working. Like, you can just start working, because as soon as you get into it, you start pulling the thread and you're like, oh, here it is. And all of the time that I was getting ready to work, I was just using up my best brain power time on things that truly don't move the needle at all. Something that I learned from a guy who owned 13 or 14 really successful gyms, and he called it open to goal. And he said, yeah. He said, my managers work open to goal. And I was like, what does that mean? It's like, so they work open until they hit their goal. And so sometimes that means they hit their goal by noon and they can cut out. Or that means that they have to go from 5 a.m. until midnight that night, because that's how long it took them to hit the goal. And so I've seen this across a lot of high achievers across domains. So like, I'll keep shooting free shots until I hit 100 free shots. I will run until this happens. I will practice my presentation until I do zero mess ups, right? Or whatever that output is that you want for quality or quantity. And I think that you have to first figure out what the input is that most closely correlates or tracks with the output you want. Mm-hmm. And then you jam as much as you possibly can into inputs. The vast majority of business owners, I come from the business perspective, but the vast majority of business owners, work a fair amount. They just work on the wrong stuff and they do it the wrong way. And so they get so little for their effort that they wonder when they're at home, empty-handed in bed, why isn't this working when I am working? But if you define work, at least the way I do, which is output. So I define work by output. And in order to get output, it's volume times leverage. So how many times you do the thing times how much you get for each time you do it. And so that is the, do you work smart or do you work hard? It's you do both. You do as many reps as you possibly can, and you do it with the most leverage possible. So if I make 100 phone calls, the leverage that I can have there would be how skilled I am. So if I make 100 calls, I might get 10 times more. And so I worked more, I had more output than somebody who has less skill. But the only way you get skilled is by doing more inputs, by working more. And so it's this virtuous cycle of doing more and getting better, and then you get more for what you do. Yeah, we need to be reminded more than we need to be taught. Yeah, people don't know how to manage their emotions. I think the more, at least for me, the more I've tried to create space between how I feel and what I do, the more consistent my outcomes have been. In order to be more confident, we want to have more proof that what we think will happen will happen. And so the easiest way to do that is to do it a lot of times. And so it would be reasonable to say that you're confident that it will go the way you want because it has gone the way you've wanted. If I want to accomplish all my goals, then I need to make sure that my inputs are tied as closely as humanly possible to the outcome. If I want to be satisfied, it doesn't matter at all. And so I think it's marrying those two ideas where the perfect world, in my opinion, would be you work as hard as you possibly can because you thought ahead of time, what is the input that has the closest correlation with the outcome that I want? And then you put your blinders on and you start digging. So a lot of people feel like imposters because what they think, what they say, and what they do are completely different. But from an operational perspective, because that's how I like to define a lot of words, which is what do I have to do to be that, right? What do I have to do to be authentic? And you can describe someone as authentic by saying, how would you behave if there was no possibility of punishment? And so if you could not be punished at all, that behavior is who you are authentically. So I think a lot of us have the battle of the other self that we're the lesser version of ourself that we're trying to kill every single day. And so a lot of times we have this desire to point the blame finger externally, but wherever you point the finger of blame, power follows. And so whoever I blame for the life I have is the person who I give all the power over my existence, over my circumstances. And so it hurts, but if you turn the finger inwards and you start saying, huh, I don't like my life. The person that I need to punish or get back at is the real person who got me here, which is me. And so you may be right that other people did certain things or you got dealt a bad hand. It also doesn't matter because the only thing that you can control is obviously the actions that you take. And the only person who's in control of that is you. And so do we accept the world and change ourselves? Or do we change the world and accept ourselves? When you change yourself, you will change the world because you'll change how you see it. I think a lot of the discontent comes from the judgment people have about what they should or should not do along the way. And so they take my description as prescription for what they should do. So I describe my life and then people think I'm prescribing what they should do. And it couldn't be further from the truth. If you want to take a break at every two steps and take in the view, do it. I mean, in four generations, no one will remember your name. And so enjoy the view if you feel like it. I just happen to enjoy how much I can see that I can do. That's what I enjoy. And I feel like I am most present when I work. And so I'm not going to go into work-life balance, whatever, because we already know where that conversation goes. But people have a harder time accepting that someone can just work all the time and truly love it. And I define that by there's nothing else I would rather do at any time. And so for me, I feel like I exercise absolute freedom in my life. What has worked so well for me and why the input over the output focus has been so powerful is that I can extend the time horizon basically indefinitely because the goal is me and then the external goals occur. People criticize because it helps them justify the risks they chose not to take, in the hopes that it'll dissuade you from doing it so that you can be in the exact same position as them, which then justifies that they made the right call. It's rarely the information or the intensity that makes things hard. It's the sticking with it that makes it hard. And so the desire that we have to quit is simply breaking the consistency. And so that's why consistency has always been the hardest thing for most people to achieve.